My teaching tonight is called How to Turn a Hopeless Situation Around for the Glory of God. You know, I always say, you know, life happens. And there are things that we go through in our life, and there may be disappointments. Or how many are maybe believing God for an incredible miracle in your life? Maybe financial breakthrough or emotional breakthrough or a healing in your body or whatever it is. And sometimes, or maybe we have a circumstance that just happens in our life and we need God to just perform a miracle in that. And God has given us the ability by His Spirit to turn those situations around for His glory. And I'm here hopefully to give you the hope of God again in your situation, that it's not a dead-end situation. And that it's not over. That God is silently working behind the scenes when you can't see Him working. And that's called faith. And it's called trusting God. And even when we are looking in the natural, God doesn't even see the natural. Because God is a supernatural God. Amen? He's supernatural. And He's looking up in heaven and He's going, well, I'm performing the miracle here. And I'm making a way and I'm giving Him a divine appointment. And I'm giving Him setups by my Spirit. And I'm giving Him favor. And I'm going to release another job opportunity. Or I'm going to give Him wisdom or whatever you need. God's working it out on your behalf. And all we have to do is simply believe that He's working it out. And that it's not over. It's not over until Jesus comes again. It's not over. So what you're looking at is not the truth. Say, what I'm looking at is not the truth. God's Word is the truth. God's Word has the final answer. And we have to hang on and believe and trust that God is working it out. Maybe not the way that we think it should work out. And maybe not in the timing that we think that it's going to come to pass. But I promise you, if you'll endure and you'll allow your faith to go strong, and you'll learn to trust God like you've never learned to trust God before, that desire will come to pass. You know, I was talking with Anderson this week, and we were just talking about the Lord. He loves the fellowship about God, so at the office we'll talk about the Lord. And one of the things the Lord quickened in my spirit was something my dad taught me years ago when I was young in the ministry. Because you know when you're young in Christ, maybe when you first got saved, how excited we are about God? I mean, you are running, telling the truth to everybody. And it seems like God's just performing miracles after miracles, isn't He? It's like you live on this high. And then all of a sudden, the reality wakes up. God says, okay, it's time to grow up now. You know, I've been providing and I've been loving, and that is a part of my character. But now I want to mature you. And now I want to build some character. And now I want to put some endurance. And I want to make that faith that's in you a little bit stronger for what the next season's about to bring and what I'm going to do for your life. And it's in those character-building seasons and those seasons where God's trying to build our faith that we can get discouraged. Because we don't like those feelings of not living on this high emotional experience with God. I love it when I can feel God, because we can feel His presence, can't we? I love those times. But there's times where I simply don't feel God in my emotions. But He's still there. There's times where I may not be able to hear God for my season, but He's still talking. Because I don't walk my Christian walk based on how I feel. I walk it based on faith and trusting God according to His Word. And my dad said something to me years ago, and it has just been so alive in me. He says, you know, Barb, it's not how high you jump, but it's how far you walk. And it is easy for God to get excited about kingdom things. And it's easy to hear a message of faith and go, yes, amen, I'm going to go do it. And then you run to the parking lot and you've already grown weary while doing good. Right? We get in the car before we even open the front door to get to our house and we're already tired and grown weary. Because God says it's not how high you jump. It's not how good you feel. It's not how the circumstance looks. It's about me being the great I am. I am God. I'm the author and I'm the finisher of your faith. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. And that means as long as I'm walking on my journey with Christ, as long as I'm loving Him and I'm following His plan according to my life, God has my end in mind. He said, I had your end before the beginning. Amen? So I don't have to sweat about the end. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen and how's that bill going to get paid and what about this and what about that. All that is, according to God's words, is a tingling cymbal. It's a noise to distract us. So the enemy uses our natural circumstances to be loud in our face, so that's what we're paying attention to. And God says, don't pay attention to those things. Keep your eyes fixed on me. That's what the Word says. Because why? I'm the author and the finisher. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. That paycheck is not the author and the finisher of your life. That house you're living in isn't your answer. That job you're working is not your answer. Because in 1 second, that can be taken away. When God is solid in you, nothing can shake you. Because God is your provider. God is your maker. God is your favor giver. He is God. And He's the great I am. And guess what? He's got you in mind. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten the desires of your heart. And He has not overlooked you. Sometimes I think we think God looks past us to somebody that deserves it over us. Somebody that's maybe more spiritual or coming to church more, the biggest giver. I think in our flesh we feel that way. But God says, I've not forgotten you. In your quiet hours, when you lay on your bed, I always say this, the real me talks when I go to bed. The real me talks to me when I go to bed. Like, for some reason during the day, we can tune out all of life, but as soon as we go to bed, I'm talking, I really hear what's going on. And the real me is talking at night. And those are the things that we got to pay attention to. God hears you when you're really talking, when you're scared, and when you're lonely, and when you feel forsaken, and when you wonder if it's ever going to happen to me. God says, I hear those cries, and I'm able to perform it. But I need you to trust in me. I need you to know that it's not over, that I am God. And there's some things that I'm going to give you tonight. What is my role to play in turning life situations around? Because we know there's God's grace, but there are things that we have to activate according to God's word. The first one I want to share with you tonight is, number one, in order to turn a situation around, you've got to develop faith. See, like I said, we have these great experiences with God when we're first saved, and that's wonderful, and it seems like God's moving mightily, but God's trying to grow you. He's trying to mature you and get you to the next level. And that next season of faith sometimes requires new wineskins. Has anybody ever had those on before? And they're not comfortable. They're tight, and it's something we've never experienced before. And I don't like what I'm feeling. I don't like what's coming out of me. And it's new wineskins. And God's saying, I'm putting them on you to develop your faith to make you stronger. And we need, in these tough situations that we feel like what's going to happen and we feel the squeeze, we need to count it all joy according to God's word, because I'm developing a deeper trust in my God. That means I'm learning to rely less on me and less on what I can do, because Ephesians says when you've done all to stand, what do? I continue standing. It doesn't mean I go fight. Ephesians says I stand because I've done all I know to do. I've got the budget in order, and I've done faith, and I've done communion. I've done all those things, God. Now all I get to do is stand, because you said you won't see the righteous forsaken. Because all I have to do is stand, because you're God and you have my end in mind. And when I'm in those tough situations and I could go crazy sometimes, is where I learn to dig deep into God and trust Him. I can look at circumstance, but I can go, but God, your word says. And it's in those seasons where I don't know what God's doing and how it's going to work out that I can go, but God, you said. It's when I take those old prophetic words and I hold them up before the Father and I say, God, this is what you said. This is what you said is in my future. And I begin to activate trust in God. And what happens is we begin to go and maneuver and try to make things happen. When God said, stand. And we try to work, and we're getting tired. I'm trying to make this happen. And I'm not saying that we can't do something, but I'm saying when it comes to a point where you know you're exhausting yourself beyond God's ability to meet you at your faith. Because we do. Faith without works is dead. I believe in that. But you know that dividing line of the human nature. You know when you're working what you know you need to do, faith with works, but you also know when you're working your own flesh and you're tiring yourself out. And God says, I want you to stand, and I want you to see that I am God, and I want you to trust me even when you can't see me moving. And I need you to trust me and lean on me, rely on me, and know that I'm God. Because God wants your divine attention. God wants you. There's another level of faith that He's bringing you to, and it's requiring this season of squeeze to get it out of you. It's never comfortable. ever. I've been to many seasons of my life where the squeeze has come, and never once have I been, hip, hip, hooray, I'm going through a faith trial. Thank you, God, you're growing my faith and I'm trusting you. Never. There's never been that emotion attached to God growing me or challenging me in my faith. Ever. It's always been like, where are you, God? You know, it's never happening for me. I see it happening for everybody else. It's all those natural human emotions that we have inside of us. But at some point, we've got to kick in the ability to push out those emotions, push out the low self-esteem, push out the value that says we're not good enough, and step in faith and trust God. You know, if you're going to develop something, a roll of film, I've used this analogy before, what do they do with a roll of film? They go into a dark room to develop what's on the inside of that film that nobody else can see. See, there's something in you. There's pictures of your future in you. Your destiny, your tomorrow, your miracle, it's already in you. There's pictures. Because God said, I wrote a book about you. It's already done. Your end is already finished. God knows the way of escape. But we run from the dark room as fast as we can. And we run to whoever will listen. We'll run to frustration. We run to everywhere but going alone and going in that dark room with the Father and shutting the door alone and take our time. Because we are in a quick fix society, aren't we? I can't get my McDonald's French fries quick enough. Right? It's true. We are an instant. I can go online and find anything I want right now. And I can be a phone call away to pick it up. We are instant society. But when it comes to God, He slows that boat down. He slows it down. He says, trust me. I'm God. Because there's a level of faith here. I've got to grow you so when the next one comes, you're ready for it. And then I'm going to grow you here and I'm going to develop it. I'm going to make it stronger. And I'm going to encourage you. And then there's going to be the next one. He says, I build line upon line, precept upon precept. He doesn't take you from here to there. It's not how high you jump. It's how far you walk. Our walk with God, it's a journey. Destiny, you're in it right now. You're in destiny. Are you in the will of God? You're in destiny. And then there'll be the season, and you'll still be in destiny. And there's those trials, those situations, and it's squeezing, and stuff is oozing out, which we'll talk about down the road. But what is God doing? He's causing you to refine your faith. And He's making you big on the inside. Have you ever been in the dark? Or maybe in a bright light, and then it gets dark, and you have to just take your eyes, and you've got to work that muscle to focus, and it's kind of hard. I was in the magnifying mirror today. Never get one, girls. Never get a magnifying mirror, especially that's wrapped in light. Dangerous. But I have the lights off, and I'm kind of, you know, doing the eyebrows, looking at all the little things now, you know, that are showing up that weren't there before. And the dogs, I'm babysitting Snickers, by the way, and I have Scooters. And so now they have two little friends, and they are both high-maintenance dogs together. And so, anyway, they were acting up, and so I was in the dark room with the bright light, and then I tried to look at them, and it took me a long time, and it was frustrating because I wanted to see what they were doing because one was nipping at the other one or something. But that muscle needed to work right to be able to focus. And that's the same thing with God. You're going to get your focus on God because now it's been on situations and it's been on the trial and it's been on what the trouble and that's what you're looking at it strong. And now we're going, trust God. What? Whoa. Okay, whoa, I can't quite see it yet. It's going to take a minute to get that faith muscle be strong enough to refocus what it's normally used to looking at. You're going to be drawn to what you're stronger at, right? Whatever's stronger, if one side of the car is stronger than the other or angled, it's going to pull to the right because that's its strength. You may be used to focusing on the situation, but God's saying, I want you to focus on me. I want you to focus and trust me. And it's going to take a minute. We want to get in that dark room and go and process and spit it out like you know, at CVS or whatever. and you get awful photos when you do that. They're foggy. They're never what they're supposed to be to the quality that they were designed to be. Because we want quick. And God's like, slow down. Whoa. First of all, you got your whole life. And it's going to take me a minute to work all this out for you. It's just going to take a little time. But in the meantime, I just need you to love me. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. So if I'm seeking him in that dark place, and I'm loving him, and I'm going to that word, and I'm getting a word of God for my spirit, I got to get a promise to hang on to. Because if I don't have a promise, I'm going to self-destruct. There's no vision. The word says, I cast off restraint. We're crazy when we don't have vision. The Bible says we literally cast off our restraints. And so we live life just crazy trying to make decisions, but it's not anchored on a word of God. And we wonder why we're frustrated. So in those dark seasons, the dark time where God's calling you, the dark room, you just embrace God. Don't run from it. People 20 years down the road are at the same place with the same trial, the same frustration, because they won't slow down in the dark room. They won't take time to get vulnerable before God and just say, get real with God. I mean, God and I just had a good coffee talk a couple days ago. We had a heart-to-heart. I told him some stuff. I can talk to God like that because he's my dad. And he's my God. And I can't hide my heart from him because he knows the deepest secrets of my heart. But it's in those dark seasons, the dark room, I mean, that we just get with God and get real. And then he begins to flow and talk to you. And all of a sudden, you begin to see the first solution. You see a little something, don't you? And then what, they got to pick it up and they got to put it in that next little solution. And it takes a little while. It's a process. Then it goes to the next one. All of a sudden you go, oh, I see a nose, or, you know, I see the ball, or whatever it is that's on there. And then they put it up and let it hang there and dry. And they just take their time in that beautiful process. And then all of a sudden they've got portraits of what their experience was. It's the same thing with God. Your relationship with God, it's a journey. Don't try to quick fix it. The experience took time. It took a toll. So give God a minute to heal it. Give him a minute to love on you and to develop that ability to focus on him and know that he is the one that's going to do it. Thank God that we can learn to trust God. His word says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. That's amazing. So even this little, our little ability to see what we desire, God's like, I have so much more for you in mind. But your natural mind is never going to comprehend that. So I can't get it to you until you get out of your natural way of thinking. You have to begin to think kingdom things. You have to think spiritual things. And we've got to renew this mind until we have the ability to see that. And then God says, I will blow your mind when you trust me. What he says, and he will do it according to his word. All right, so we have to, number one, develop the faith. Get in that place where we're going to develop our trust, and it's in those seasons you're getting stronger. That's the great thing. Your faith is getting stronger in God. All right, in Mark 9:22, it says this. I'm actually going to flip over there tonight, talking on faith and learning to believe in God. In Mark 9:22, it says this. This is talking about the boy who was healed. Let's just go to verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus said, if you can believe. Remember, mom, can I go to the store? And the mom would say, I don't know. Can you? Remember? Or maybe some of you are saying that now. I don't know. Can you? May I? You have the ability. Saying the permission is there. If you can believe. Not may, you've given permission to believe. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who can believe. In believing, we have to find that ability to believe, which means to have faith, to trust God. And it goes on the rest of that verse in 24, he said, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He was real with God. He said, if you can believe that I'll heal your son, I'll heal it. Lord, I can, but help my unbelief. Because I'm real with you. Right now, I'm struggling with my inability to believe and trust in you. And we have to get real with God. God, I can believe, but right now I'm struggling with some unbelief on the inside of my life. Ask God, Lord, remove that doubt. Remove that unbelief in my life. Wherever it entered in, maybe through disappointment, maybe through a failure, maybe you believed God for a duration and it didn't come to pass yet. God's saying, remove that doubt and unbelief. We have to say, God, help my unbelief. There is something blocking my ability to see the end in mind that you have for me. So God, come in and remove that from my life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's the same belief. Did you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Did you believe within your heart? Then you got saved. It's that same belief. How come it's so easy to believe that we are saved from eternal damnation in hell, which we have never seen and our mind can never comprehend, but we know somewhere there's a faith that's activated that Jesus is the King of Kings. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for us. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. We can believe all of that. And somehow, by looking through our circumstances, we have the inability to believe that God can't perform a financial miracle or a marriage miracle or some other situation, breakthrough in our life, jobs and finances, whatever it is. It's the same belief system. So if you had that activated as a grain of mustard seed when you got born again, you have it in you to believe God. And that's exciting. But we've got to activate the gift of faith. We've got to get in the Word of God and get our Word from God. Whenever I'm going through a trial or a situation, I have got to find what God's Word says about it, because nothing makes me feel secure. Nothing. Not a good prayer. That feels good for a minute. Not a phone call to a friend that can encourage me. That feels good for a minute. But I'm talking about to turn the situation around. I've got to have a word from God, because there is that rhema of faith activated when I know what God said for me. Not what my friend had to say, not what the altar ministry was, and those are all great. What does God have for Barb Pruitt? And when I have that word, I hang on to that word like bulldog faith. And you aren't ever taking it from me. And that's how we have to get. If you don't have a rhema word yet from God's word, you've got to go in and get it. That's your Thanksgiving assignment. You've got to get a promise from God's word, or you have nothing. It's like being in a windstorm or in the middle of the ocean without a life preserver. Because the word says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. But when it is fulfilled, it becomes a tree of life. So that means it can be fulfilled. It gets deferred and it grows weary, but it can become a tree of life in our life. Amen? All right. Faith. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. When you believe in God, he says, I'll not put you to shame. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not leave you hanging out there for trusting me. Maybe someone's believing for a marriage to be restored together, and people think you're crazy. I'll never put you to shame, God said. Whatever you're believing for and people think you're crazy, who cares? Because you let God redeem you. You hang on to your belief and what God spoke to you, and you watch God redeem you. You can't give up believing because of what family members think or what friends think about your believing God. It's none of their business. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but when it's coming to my life and believing God for a miracle, I got to hang on to what God said about me. Because I'm accountable to God, not to man. I'm accountable to the Father and what he wants for my life. And sometimes people don't understand that belief system. But we still hang on and we trust God, and God will never leave the righteous forsaken, is what his word says. So when you believe, you'll never be put to shame. Number two, those who believe in Jeremiah 17:7 says you will not act hastily. Do you know people who don't believe God act crazy and they do crazy stuff? They get out there in their emotions and they start making and doing things. But the word says when I believe in God, I don't act hastily. I don't have to be in a hurry. I don't have to be crazy. I get to sit back and trust God. That means I can take a deep breath and just relax. And I get to stay in the joy of the Lord. You know, when things come, it may blindside you for the moment, but that's all that it should be, is a moment. And then you step right back into the joy of the Lord. And you step right back into trusting God. Because He's the one that can make it happen for you. It also says in Isaiah 28, it says, "Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord." It means you are blessed when you trust in God. Amen? Okay, so what do we got here? Number one is you're going to develop faith. Number two, we're going to move right along because I don't want to keep you too late. Number two is you have to become possibility-minded. You got to see that all things are possible to those who can believe. It is possible. It's like seeing the glass half full or half empty. You got to begin to see possibility. I know when I was a little girl, I started one of my favorite songs was that song, "I Am a Promise." You guys ever heard it? "I am a possibility. I am a promise with the capital P." You guys know it? "I am a great big bundle of..." Do you know it? But no, I'm kind of shy about singing it. I know I've sung it for y'all before, but anyway, having the possibility minded, that word possible, in Matthew 19:26, it says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." That's excited. Is God able? Yes, He's able. I can look at life and see it as empty, or I can look at life and see it full. Become possibility-minded. That word possibility, possible, actually means this. It means dynamite. It means dynamo. It means strong, mighty, powerful. We have to become possibility-minded and know that God is able. That word possible also translates to potent. It means having a yielding force, achieving or bringing about a particular situation in our life. It also means having the ability to act and the power to accomplish. That's what being possibility-minded is. Not being hopeless. Not being defeated. Not feeling like you're not worthy or discouraged or all those nasty emotions that arise. Believe that God is able. In Romans 8:28, it says this, "For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." So your situation, God says, I don't care if you put yourself in it. I'm going to work it together for your good. That working together actually means a working energy. God says, I will turn it around for your good and for my glory. Because God watches over His kids. Amen? And we have to know that God's going to turn it around for our good. I have to know that. Not wish it, not think it. I have to know that my God is able to turn every situation. I could tell you a ton of stories, and we just don't have time to do that. But God is able. That word "know" means to perceive with the eyes. It means I have to begin to see that God is able. I have to pay attention. In other words, I'm looking for the blessing to come. I'm not going to sit just tired and wore out and wonder if it's ever going to come. No, I'm waiting with expectancy for my blessing to come. And I'm waiting for change to happen. And I'm waiting for favor to be there. And I'm waiting for a business opportunity. It's not a compliance whatever. It's I'm ready, God, and I am looking with anticipation for what You're about to do. It's I know. I'm looking. I'm not cheerful. I'm not worried. I'm looking. It means I inspect. I examine. And I look. That together means when I work it together, God comes in partner with your labor. That means He's your business partner. God says, I'll work together with you. I'll hold you hand in hand. That means you're not alone. You're not going through the situation by yourself. God is by your side. He says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. And I'm going to work it together for your good. And it means a working energy. Amen. God is so good. Let me see if there's anything else. I'm going to go on. I'm passing up so much of my notes because I really don't want to keep you late. So another time I'll have to expound on this. Number three is very important. I want to go over this. Number one, you're going to develop faith to turn a situation around. You're trusting God. Number two, you're going to become possibility-minded. See the beautiful flowers of life and the thankfulness that you have. Number three, begin to examine yourself. I'll explain this to you. In 2 Corinthians 13, it says this. When you are going through life's trials, circumstances, there are going to be things that are going to come out of you. And they're going to be ugly. They're not going to be pleasant. Because life circumstances squeezes out of you what's in you. And it's those things that we got to pay attention to. We don't embrace them and say, well, this is who I am. We recognize that maybe there's some garbage there God wants to get out of. I say it like this. It's like taking a tube of toothpaste and squeezing it. What's in it's coming out. So if your life squeeze and circumstance is bringing out anger, disappointment, failure, you have to examine that and say, okay, all right, this is not who I am. I'm not an angry person. I'm not a man of failure. I don't have disappointment. That's just garbage coming out of me. When I teach the teenagers, I always say, you know, when we take out the garbage of the house, are we embarrassed about taking out our garbage? No, we have pride in it. We put them in big green buckets and roll them to the side of the street. And they're overflowing. There's no shame in our game when we're taking out the garbage, right? Because if we leave it in the house, what's going to happen? It's going to stink. We don't want the garbage in our house. So we put it in buckets, we take the trash out, and we don't identify with it. And we let the dumpster come, we pull that thing back in, and we do it all over again. But yet when it comes with God, and all of a sudden we start squeezing out stinky stuff, we embrace it. And we take that garbage, and we relive it again, and we relive it. Instead of just get the garbage out and take it to the Holy Ghost curb and let God get it out of us. There's no shame in your fear. There's no shame in disappointment. There's no shame in failure. And in 2 Corinthians, it says 13:5, according to His Word, it says this. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. There it is in the Word. So if I am, when I'm squeezed and faith isn't activated, I'm examining that. I'm not going to feel like I'm not godly because I've got stuff coming up. I'm examining according to God's Word. That word examine means to explore, to prove, to test the loyalty, the strength. God's going to, when things happen, loyalty will be tested. Your strength will be tested. Your opinions are going to be tested. Your disposition's going to be tested. Right? Your condition, your faith, your patience, or your character. But we want to hide that from everybody. And we go to church and we put this big veil on like we're super Christians, and yet we've got all this garbage carrying around. And our attitudes stink. And our faith levels stink, and we're embarrassed to admit it. But God says, just examine your faith. If it's low, it's okay. Get rid of the garbage. Let the faith trials build you up and encourage you and mature you and get you to the next level of your life. It goes on to say, test yourself. Do you not know yourself? How many of us have dealt with the same stuff year? Don't raise your hand. The same stuff year after year, and yet we don't examine ourselves. We aren't true to ourselves, and we don't know ourselves. Secretly, we do. Remember the real us talks at night? Or first thing in the morning, whichever way it works for you. That real you talks. That insignificance talks. Holy Spirit saying, pay attention to it. Because that's an area I got to get to. Because it's coming up. It's blocking your faith. If you have a disappointment, it's blocking my ability, God's saying, to get you to the end resolve. The only ones, the children of Israel, the Word of God says they limited the Holy One because of their unbelief. God is all God. He's able. He's God. But we limit Him because of our unbelief, because we're afraid to examine ourselves and get to the raw fact that maybe I have too much unbelief in there. Maybe I have too much disappointment. Or maybe I need God to love me deeply because I don't feel like He really loves me. I don't know what's going on in you. But God does. And remember, it's in those dark rooms when it's quiet that we hear that. There's been many times God has gone in and just done stuff inside of me maybe a teacher. I had a teacher that was so mean to me, cruel, just degrading. Now I'm a grown woman. I was in the private time with the Lord, and up came that humiliation. And it limited my ability to be the woman of God that God's called me to be and declare the Word of God. Now, I didn't go digging, okay, what teacher was mean to me? I don't do that. I don't believe in that. I think you'll get yourself in trouble doing that kind of stuff. But I'm saying in that secret place in life, squeeze, shame, whatever, pay attention to it. This is how I experience the healing of God. Stuff comes up, we call it the dross. We know that. The refiner fire stirs up the silver. All the impurities come to the top. I look at it like this. God, okay, let's say I've got shame. I take that shame and I put it in my hand. God, this is what I'm going through. This is whatever brought me shame or whatever brought this to my life. And I just say, Father, you're the refining fire. And the silversmith would come in and remove the dross. That's all he'd do, and throw it away. That's what the word says, or even silversmiths do. So I see God the same way. He's the refining fire. And I see him come down. And so I do. I take it in my hand, and I say, God, I give it to you. And then in my other hand, I reach up, and I take his love and put it in where that was taken out. It's that. It's just an exchange. I don't have to go crawling through broken glass and fast 40 days and go to the altar, you know, and all that. If it's surfacing, he's like, just let me get it out of you. I'm having it surface because I want you to give it to me. I don't want you to carry that. It could be in your car. It could be in your bedroom. It could be anywhere. I'll just sit quietly and I just take it. Here you go, Lord. And it's always his love covers. Remember, the love covers all. So I just always receive his unconditional love in that exchange. And immediately there's a transfer. It's that easy. You may not cry a tear. It's okay. God's not an emotional God, remember? He's a supernatural God. Sometimes we have experiences of tears and there's that outlet, and that's wonderful too. But that's just because you don't have a manifestation of some big emotions doesn't mean God didn't move. It's faith. Remember? It's faith. Here you go, silversmith. Thank you for your perfect love. Right? Humiliation, there it goes. And if you know what's coming out of you, you know. And you just give that over to the Father. And when you do this examining process, what you want to do is ask, now how did I get here? To make sure I never do it again. Right? What brought this experience? Why am I here? How did I get here? What's my belief system so that I don't end up at this place again? If I got in severe debt and I get the wisdom of God to get out of it, I'm going to say, okay, what am I going to do to never get in severe debt again? Right? I have to make a plan of action. I have to set a vision. I have to set a goal. So if you're in this life situation, we got to use common sense. We got to get a plan. What did I do to get here? Maybe some of it, none of it was you did anything. I'm just saying some circumstances we put ourselves in. And we have to take ownership. That's not all the devil. We did some things. Okay, what am I going to do to never do this again? And I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to move on. I'm not going to get in guilt and condemnation. I'm not going to work myself up. I'm going to receive the grace of God that we're learning, and I'm going to move on. Amen? And that's what God does. So examine yourself. Examine your faith in God. All right. And I'm going to stop there because there are way too many points, and maybe I can teach part two sometime. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this wonderful time that we have to share in your word, God. I thank you for everyone that made tonight and came on out, Father, to hear your word, Lord. I just believe in my heart they heard exactly what they needed to hear, God, that they received their little piece of revelation in the name of Jesus. And God, I ask that you would cover every one of us here, God. Cover us with your love. Cover us with your grace. Father God, I just pray that any area that anyone here would feel like that they're carrying this ugly garbage in their life, Father God. Lord, we just release your grace right now over their hearts, over their life. God, I pray that this week would be a weekend of refining fire. That, Lord, you would just reach down and you would pull that junk out. That, Lord, they would not fight against your plan. They would not resist these new wineskins, Lord, that they'll surrender to your spirit, God. They'll surrender to the dark room. the surrender to the time of challenge, Lord, to develop their faith and go deeper in You, Father God. I thank You, Lord, that You give each one here tonight their own rhema word from Your word, God, as they go forth to get their word and they go forth into this journey of turning the situation around, God, that You'll give them exactly what they need and they're going to hang on and You're going to give them the good fight of faith, Father God. You're going to give them the endurance that they need. You're going to give them the strength that they need, God, to finish this course and to see Your goodness fulfilled in their life. God, I thank You for them. And Lord, we lift up our bishop to You right now, God. We thank You for the miracle that You've done in his body, God. We thank You that You've kept Your righteous hand upon his life, Lord. We just thank You for that, God. And we pray where he's at right now in his home, that, Lord, You send angels to his couch, to his bedside. Lord, flood that home with Your glory, with Your love, with Your power, God. We just thank You that this church body, we're going to rally around him. We're going to lift up his arms like Aaron and Hur did Moses. We're going to lift up his arms, oh God, and we're going to be encouragers. We're going to be supporters, God. We declare that body to have the quick recovery in the name of Jesus. We declare, Lord God, that every area, Lord God, is going to function perfect. That, God, He'll speedily recover supernaturally and bring Him back to this pulpit according to Your time and Your plan, Lord God. Give my mom supernatural grace and strength, oh God. Just fill up her body with just Your joy and Your peace and Your comfort. I pray that while they're home, Lord, You're going to fill their mouths with laughter and their lips with shouts of praise, oh God. Let them be able to rest and never worry about anything, God. That everything is under control. And we thank You for it, God. As we come together Sunday as a body, just bring us together in unity and love, God, and anoint my brother with such a rich word. God, we as a body, we stir up those gifts for his life right now. God, we come with expectancy to hear a word from Your Spirit, the Anointed One, God. And we thank You for it. Thank You, Lord. And we love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.